And Ms. Roberts, would you do the academic affairs portion of our meeting,
yes,
please?
Yes. On action items 8.1 and 8.10, they all concern new programs. We all discuss them at committee meetings, and I don't know if we should do these, if we can vote them all at once, or if we should present them. Dr. Birch, do you have a suggestion how you
would? We're prepared to talk about any of them the board may want to talk about. Ms. Roberts, it's up to you.
Okay, why don't we present each one? Okay,
you can present them as a package, and then if somebody wants to pull one out and vote on it separate, you can do that.
Okay, all right. So I'll just name them off, and then we can move it. And if anybody has any questions and want to discuss them individually, is that we should do that?
That'd be fine.
Okay. Do you want to talk about each one a little bit about each one as we go through?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I can hit them in 10 seconds each. Would that help?
All right. Okay. All right. We'll do that for the minute.
The first one, we are taking a number of departments and restructuring in the College of Education Behavioral Sciences to create a school of teacher education to give better articulation emphasis to our teacher ed programs and an opportunity of modeling what we're preaching, so to speak. The second one.
Why don't you give the names like 8.1 and 8.2?
Okay, 8.1.
Thank you.
8.2 is an Institute for Citizenship and Social Responsibility, and it's really a way of bringing together a lot of the other initiatives that we have been doing as part of civic engagement, social responsibility, community-based partnerships, engaged learning, and it also is coming about because of our linkages with a foundation, with the Carnegie Foundation and the Kettering Foundation on the national level, and we think it'll advance our agenda and help us in that regard. The 8.3 item is a fairly simple one. It's moving the Department of Physical Education and Recreation, a name change, to the Department of Kinesiology, Recreation, and Sports. Actually, that's a name that has been pretty commonly used in universities for a number of years, and it simply more accurately reflects the nature of the programming and what we're doing in those departments now. And that's all that is. 8.4, I think you are aware that we've been looking at ways that we can create new opportunities for students and enrich programming by different ways of putting together programs of study. If there's one thing that has had huge student interest, it's sustainability. In fact, I think the students have taken the lead on the campus in sustainability, and this is a new minor in sustainability through the Department of Geography and Geology, and that is 8.4. 8.5 on your agenda, and 8.6 I'd like to mention together. At the present time, we do have a creative writing minor in Potter College. Should I say that right, David? And what we are finding is that our students have very different kind of writing needs. Some of them want the creative writing, but some of them want a different kind of writing. They want professional writing in terms of their career directions, advertising, public relations, poli-sci, marketing, business majors. So what we're doing, we already have the courses in the faculty. We're simply allowing them to split that program to focus on the area of writing that they are seeking. In moving to 8.7, we are offering a new graduate certificate in historic preservation in Department of Folk Studies and Anthropology. This is a very, it's not a large graduate department, but it is a very powerful graduate department. They are one of the best in the country at what they do, and the opportunities are there for historic preservation, and this will allow that for individuals who want that additional credential. The next ones, I'm going to take three of them together, if you don't mind, and that's 8.8, which is a new major in science and math education offered through Department of Curriculum Instruction in the College of Education Behavioral Sciences, and approval of a new major in middle grades mathematics, 8.9, that the Department of Math and Computer Science is offering. And the third piece to this trio is 8.10. It's a new major in middle school science education offered through physics, Department of Physics. These programs have been approved internally. We already have this program. Some of you know it as SkyTeach. And part of getting SkyTeach and getting the funding for it and getting it up and running and getting huge enrollment. This is a program that is designed to uniquely prepare future math science teachers and from middle grades through high school. And it has just been amazingly enrolled with students. It's very connected to the schools. They are part of it. We've been up and running for a year. We thought we wouldn't have any issue with this because we could create the majors, but we have since discovered that the council, since all of these are designed for teachers, that we have to send them on to the council for final approval because all teacher ed programs are considered outside of institutional band. We have in-band and out-of-band. I anticipate no issue at the council level, but they probably will not be on that agenda till July 24th. Given we already have students in this program and they'll be second year in the program next year, I'd like to go ahead and have you approve it pending final CPE approval in July so that we can be official.
And that's for all through 8, 9, and 10?
Yes, that would be for 8, 8.8, 8.9, and 8.10. 8.11 is the...
Let's stop there? Let's stop and
okay.
on the programs, and then we'll do that. Go back to 8.11. And why don't I, since we're going to do the last three contingent on approval, why don't we do 8.1 through 8.7, all of which have been discussed at committee meetings and were recommended by the committee for adoption. So I guess what we need now is a motion to for this body to approve them, if I hear a motion.
So moved.
Okay. And Dr. Katz, do we need a second since it's coming? We do need a second. Okay.
Second.
Okay. Is there any more discussion or questions for Dr. Birch about these programs? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now on items 8.3.8.11, do I hear a motion to adopt them contingent on approval by the Council on Post-Secondary Education at their next meeting?
Horace,
did you say 8.8? 8.8, yes, 8.9 and 8.10. Those three are subject to approval. Is that right, Dr. Burke?
8.8 through 8.10.
Okay.
I move those to be approved.
Okay, and we have a second?
Second.
Okay, any more discussion or questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Items passed. Okay, 8.11 is approval of faculty emeritus appointments. Get that.
Okay. Second.
Well, we don't want to read them into the record. All right, we have several. Any discussion? Any motion to read them into the record? They'll appear in the minutes, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That's the end of our action items. Information items, Dr. Burke?
We have two brief reports.
Okay.
Dr. Svoboda, the first one is the winter term report. And would you mind coming up? Dr. Svoboda is Dean of the Division of Extended Learning and Outreach, and I believe you have the report in your materials, and he's not going to read it all. He's going to just briefly.
Actually, I'm not going to read very much of it. You've seen the preliminary of this sometime back. We're well into summer activity right now. I direct your one of the things that this report will give you is we do a considerable amount of analysis and evaluation every year of students, and I would just say there's a student survey on page 13 through I think it's about 16 that you might find in a faculty service survey starting on page 16. Be interesting to look at. I'm always, as I look at these, of the survey return, 20% of the students return the surveys. One of the items simply was points out that what's your current age? Well, if this is, a scientifically good representation of the sample. More than 50% are adult students fit into the age of 24 and above. Don't know that that's maybe in this case survey Adult students simply feel more obligated to fill out the survey. That's a possibility too. We're not saying this is a scientific path. This is a scientific survey where we sent it out to everybody. But I, we did have, so we could say, we've made it possible and deal to let the president say this, we did have an increase in enrollment for our third year in a row, even though it was a very small percentage. Four students, that's still an increase, and we'll take it every time. But we graduate programs went up on participation. We're pleased about that. It continues to be pretty much the same level of students in terms of upper division students, juniors and seniors wanting to finish getting a course in that they might not have gotten some other time. So it's a pretty thorough document, and you can check it by colleges and departments if you'd like. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Interesting on the delivery methods on page 7. With the online versus Bowling Green campus versus regional campus and the other options, study abroad and so forth. That's a pretty good distribution of delivery methods for these students.
Actually, nationally, we're seeing that online for summer and winter courses are increasing more rapidly than many anticipated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Doc.
Okay.
Thank you,
Doc. Enrollment report. Dr. Keeler and Dr. Bowker's here as well.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Let me just start with looking back at our fall final numbers. I reported preliminary numbers to you a while back, but we have finalized those. And very, very quickly, we are very pleased to report that our preliminary numbers held and that we were 496 students up from the previous fall. And that was pretty much across the board. You can see that both undergraduate and graduate school, we had increases on both sides. And so that's good news. Moving on to spring enrollment, this is a preliminary view. We are just basically cleaning up numbers right now, making sure that people are counted in the right categories and making sure that we don't have sophomores that are counted that should have been juniors and so forth. So we're pretty sure about these numbers. And both on the graduate and the undergraduate side, once again, we're reporting significant increases. You can see from the numbers there that we are up 723 students over last spring. And that is just really, really an amazing testament to the work that this entire campus has done across the board. The faculty and staff really, really have pulled hard and have done a great job in having both our returning students come back and any new students coming in. So, and that's both on the graduate side and on the undergraduate side. So we're really, really, really very, very pleased about those numbers. If you look at the document for projected enrollment for fall of 09, right now we are very optimistic about those numbers also. At the total number, we're looking at projecting about a 2.5% increase over fall 2008 in our total enrollment, which I think for the first time in the history of this institution will put us above 20,000 students attending WKU. And so that's quite a mile marker for, I think, our institution, and once again, a testament to the hard work that's taking place and the attractiveness of this campus, and we're real pleased about that. So you can see those numbers there. Looking at the applications and admissions for both the graduate and the undergraduate side, we are ahead of where we were last year at this time frame also. Undergraduate applications are about 4.5% ahead of where we were last year, and likewise, graduate applications I know are well ahead. And Dick, I don't know what the percentage. Do you have?
I don't have the percentage, okay. But as of today, we're 85 applications ahead of last year. And what's significant about that is graduate applications trail undergraduate applications. they have a big flush of applications now. Ours doesn't really start until we get towards the summer. So to be 85 students up right now really is very positive. And I'll just add one other thing while I'm talking. Today we hit the highest number of graduate students in the history of WKU, which is 2,864. What's really unusual about that is normally the fall admissions numbers are higher than spring. In this case, our spring numbers are up by almost 70 students over the fall. So that's a significant change, and it means then that those students, I hope, fingers crossed, will show up in the fall and our numbers will be further growth. So it's an anomalous change. I don't really have a great explanation for it. I can speculate, but I don't know what's going on. Technology.
I was thinking it was the economy.
You know, I would be remiss if I didn't say this with Dick sitting there, because I give him a very hard time about Macintosh versus others. But
I mean, the challenge will be to sustain these numbers as the economy improves.
It's pretty amazing.
The economy is a large driver of it, because if you can't get a job, go back and get another degree. Now, there are a lot of other reasons for it, too, but that is among them. And so sustaining this level will be something that we'll be focused on going forward. But it's as I've told a lot of people in recent months, higher education and healthcare right now are Kentucky's growth enterprises across this state. And this is where the energy and the growth is. That's an important message for elected officials and anyone else across Kentucky to grasp, because it's quite accurate, and we continue to lead the pace both in number, raw number, and in percentage of the eight universities in Kentucky.
By almost 1 full percent.
Yeah, by significant margin. And so that's I'm not saying that growth is the end all, because it's got its challenges too, because it's expensive, and we've got to keep pace with that growth in terms of how we address it. And for the most part, we are doing that, as evidenced by the money we reinvested back into new faculty positions and added course sections, with the growth from last fall and this spring to the tune of $1.8 million. It's an encouraging sign. If you're looking for positives, this is an encouraging sign, because the quality, by and large, is being sustained.
Two comments. I just have to say this. We're the only institution in the state so far that has done what is affectionately known as ALFIE. It's an adult-friendly learning environment or learning inventory. And we don't know how we size up with others. But because Dick is here, and I just sort of owe him one, I do have to say that from the perceptions of campus and perceptions of adult learners, the number one area that adult learners on our campus judge that we are best of all is in our technology game. They say our technology is really good. So I'm going to say that. And one more. I'd also, if personal privilege, like to just make an introduction. Paul Markham, Dr. Markham, came because he's a key person in the institute that you approved today, along with Dr. Audrey and Dr. Eric Main-Selbo in the philosophy department. And they are doing great work, and Paul with our community partnerships. But also, as you know, our faculty has shifted so dramatically in terms of how many of our faculty are here a relatively short amount of time. I guess, Patty, we used to be 75% on the professor associate side, and now we're 75% on that other end. But Paul was elected as the chair of the University Senate last week, and I hadn't ask him here for that, but given he was here, I wanted to at least introduce him to you in that leadership role. And this is Paul Markham. In case you don't know him, you should. Okay, thank you. Paul, thank you.
Congratulations, Paul. It's a great testament to be elected president of the University Senate. as a young member of the faculty, it's a lot of respect for you and confidence and trust. And it's a real distinguishing variable in your career progression. So congratulations and best wishes. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you. I just want to make one comment about enrollment. Much greater number of female as opposed to male students is not unique to Owensboro. If you look at these figures, it's probably going to soon be a real problem, but I just want to point that out, that it's university-wide.
Yeah, it is university-wide. But and I don't know in the same percentages, but nationwide, and it's been that way at this university since I was a student. We had about the same percentage of male and female students here in late 60s and early 70s as we do now. And I don't know what to make of it. I do worry about some of our male populations in terms of leadership and mentoring. But you go, girls.
Question about that. Do we know nationally the statistics of population? Are there more females than males in our population in the U.S.?
It's a good question, and I was thinking that too.
I think there are more.
My comment is more society in general.
I think there are too. Okay.
But this nationwide phenomenon is that more women are seeking higher education than men, and I think that's a real problem.
I think that's your comment. It's a societal thing that we need to be concerned about.
Yeah, there are more women, but not as many more as are in higher education, and that's the problem. So, okay. Thank you, Dr. Burke.
Thank you, Dr.
Burke. I have one question real quick. Just looking for the classifications for freshman, sophomore, et cetera, are those by hour or are those by year?
They're by hour.
By hour. Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much. Okay, Ms. Haskins.
Student Affairs only have one.